friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the New Year's Eve edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. For my final show of 2021, I'm joined by Dan Friedel. And Dan will take a look at some of the top American sports stories of the past year. Happy New Year, Dan!
Yes, sporty New Year greetings to you too, Sonny. It's good to chat again. 2021 is in the books. It's been a memorable year for sure.
Dan, as we look back on 2021, were there any sports interviews in particular that you did that really stood out for you?
Well, Sonny, of course, our listeners will remember that I talked to a handful of Olympic prospects back in the springtime of 2020 when the international sports world shut down because of the pandemic in those first weeks. And one of the athletes that we got to know was Katie Zafiris, a triathlete, world champion triathlete, who grew up, you know, about 50 kilometers outside of Washington, D.C. in Maryland, and was a high-level athlete at Syracuse University and then got into the sport of triathlon, which we know is running, cycling, and swimming. And we were talking with her about how she was staying in shape without any international events to attend, and then when the Olympics were officially postponed in the summer of 2020 and then pushed to the summer of 2021. I remember talking with her late in 2020 about getting back to competition. She had been in some competitions in Eastern and Southern Europe. And then, you know, Sonny, her father died in 2021. We checked in with her in July, shortly after she had been named to the U.S. Olympic team because of some not so great performances. In the last couple of years, she was not an automatic qualifier to the Olympic team, even though she had been one of the top American triathletes. So she was named as a wildcard member of the team. And Sonny, it was exciting to see the results of the triathlon, the women's triathlon in Tokyo, come trickling in one afternoon over the summer and see Katie Zafiris' name up toward the top. And it was great to see her get a bronze medal in the triathlon. She finished about 15 seconds behind the winner. And I've followed her on social media the last few months, and she's certainly thrilled to have an Olympic medal.
My dad had passed away in April, so that was a really hard time, and I had two very rough races. So to have the confidence that I'd be ready for today and then to be able to execute that and actually be ready and be on the podium, I mean, I'm just so proud and so happy for that I was even given the opportunity to be here.
So it's nice for her to cap off a season where she had a personal tragedy earlier in 2021 when her father died with a personal victory, getting a medal in the Olympics. That was pretty exciting to see.
Dan, were there other exciting moments from the Tokyo Olympics that you'll remember?
Yes, honey, it was an interesting Olympics, of course. You and I have talked plenty about how I have attended my share of Olympic Games, going all the way back to the Sydney Olympics in 2000. And it is such a great thing to be in the Olympic Stadium for an event like the 100-meter finals and see 80,000 people on their feet for this instant where something great might happen. I saw Usain Bolt win a gold medal in 2008. It was pretty amazing. So to think about a Olympics happening without fans is really pretty sad to see that. I mean, it's challenging for the athletes, I think, because they definitely thrive on the emotion and the energy they get from the fans. So to me, I actually have to give the Japanese fans a little bit of credit to them to get out and see some of these events. Like we mentioned, the triathlon, there were fans on the triathlon course, there were fans on the cycling course, There were fans at the Velodrome, which is the indoor track cycling event, because it was far enough outside of Tokyo that the pandemic restrictions were not the same in that area. We know that the marathon was witnessed by some fans. We know that the golf event had some fans, because you can't really prevent people from looking through the trees on a golf course to see somebody like their national hero, Hideki Matsuyama. So I'll give a gold medal to the fans who went out and went out of their way to see some of these events like skateboarding and surfing. And for me, my personal favorite moment was inside the Olympic Stadium. It was a track and field event. It was a shared gold medal between Mutaz Barsham of Qatar and Gianmarco Tamberi of Italy in the high jump, where the two men had faced off each other, moving the bar up and up and up, and then finally they just could not get any higher than 2.39 meters, and they decided to share the gold medal, and they gave each other a big hug, and it was a culmination of all these years of work. And it was really cool to see that moment at the Olympics.
Dan, the Winter Olympics begin in just over a month, on February 4th, 2022 in Beijing. Do you think we'll see more Olympic fans in China than we did in Japan earlier this year?
Well, I would imagine that the public relations aspect would be helped by seeing fans at the Winter Olympics coming up. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what China does, because certainly we know that cities in China have gotten shut down because of the pandemic in the past. So we'll see. I think it'd be nice for the athletes to see some fans. To me, I think it's funny that just a little more than 10 years ago, we saw the Summer Olympics in Beijing, and now we're going to see the Winter Olympics there as well. But it should be a good distraction in the winter, as much as there has been a lot of political conversation about the U.S. is not planning to send their diplomats. But if the Olympics do go on as planned, here in North America in particular, with the cold winter months ahead, it might be nice to be able to turn on our TV and see some of these great athletes. I mean, all politics aside, the work that these athletes go through to get their bodies in shape, it's always great to see them reach the peak of competition. I mean, for example, Sonny, you and I were talking to Mame Biney, the short track speed skater who lives in Northern Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C. And I remember talking with her in the early days of the pandemic about how she was using her skates on a cycling trail in Northern Virginia to try to get some workouts in. So it'll be nice to see her, for example, get a chance to compete on the ice.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special New Year's Eve edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm talking with Dan Friedell about some of the American sports highlights from 2021. Dan, one American athlete who's definitely kept his body in shape over the years is 44-year-old quarterback Tom Brady. On February 7th, Brady was named the most valuable player of Super Bowl 55 after leading the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to a 31-9 victory over the Kansas City Chiefs. Dan, your thoughts on Brady and the Buccaneers dethroning the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs?
It was pretty amazing to see Tom Brady bring this brand new team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, of course, Tampa Bay had won a Super Bowl earlier in the 2000s, at the very beginning of the century, but aside from that, Tampa Bay had been one of these long-term struggling teams in the NFL. They had had some good players here and there, but mostly known for being a little bit bumbling on the field as they first started in the NFL. So to see Tom Brady join the team with a couple of other important players leading into the 2020 season and then make it through the playoffs and make it to the Super Bowl in 2021 against Patrick Mahomes, who's about half his age. The Chiefs, of course, were the defending Super Bowl champions, having won the Super Bowl in early 2020 before things shut down due to the pandemic. To see these two teams in the Super Bowl was a kind of a dichotomy, right? A young player on the upswing and an old player trying to maintain his physical condition and his ability to play well against a bunch of other 20-year-olds in his early 40s. And the Buccaneers never were really threatened. They kept this explosive Kansas City offense in check and scored some points. Tom Brady looked good.
Dan, in pro basketball, Giannis Antetokounmpo looked very good in leading the Milwaukee Bucks to their first NBA title in 50 years. The Bucks beat the Phoenix Suns 4-2 in the NBA Finals in July. And after lifting the trophy, Giannis had this to say.
I want to win a championship in Milwaukee. And, I'm going to do whatever it takes in order for me to win it. And we did it.
They did it, Dan. Your thoughts on Giannis and the Bucks?
Sonny, it was great to see the evolution of Giannis over the years. I remember working at a basketball game in Washington and listening to an interview with Giannis in the pregame show very early in his career, talking about all of the wonderful new things that he was able to experience living in the United States after having grown up as an immigrant in Greece after his parents left Nigeria. And, you know, things like having all of the food choices that he could pick from for his pregame meal. And he talked about never having eaten shrimp before he was a player in the NBA. And then here he is. I remember one summer talking about all the extra work that he was putting in and trying to emulate Kobe Bryant with some of his workouts, and watching him get to the point where he could probably score 50 points nearly every game if he wanted to, and leading Milwaukee to their championship. You know, Sonny, I'm talking to you from Cleveland, Ohio, and Milwaukee and Cleveland have some similarities about being Great Lakes cities. And, you know, not as full of the glitz and glamour like Los Angeles or New York City. So it's nice to know that in the world of the NBA, smaller cities have a chance to do well. And just look at the NBA Finals. We had Milwaukee and Phoenix. You know, Phoenix is a big, sprawling southwestern city, but I wouldn't call it glamorous. And it was nice to see those two teams play in the finals, and they're both doing well again this year. You know, the Suns are up there, and the Golden State Warriors with Steph Curry being healthy.
Dan, Steph Curry recently became the three-point king in the NBA. He set the all-time record for three-point field goals made, and after setting the mark, his coach, Steve Kerr, credited him with revolutionizing the game. Your thoughts?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I was driving the other day listening to the radio, and the commentators were talking about how only 5 or 6 years ago, the combined number of three-point shots in an NBA game was about 20, and now it's closer to 40. Even teams that don't have a ton of really good three-point shooters will try a lot of three-pointers, because if you get hot, you can change the complexion of the game. You can go from being back and forth to suddenly being ahead by 6 or 9 or 12. And yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, one sport that we haven't talked about that much yet is baseball. And they're talking about doing some things in baseball to try to even out the game between the pitchers and the hitters. I wonder, Sonny, when you have a player like Steph Curry who has changed the way the game is played. I mean, he broke Ray Allen's record, and Ray Allen was a great shooter for his time. Larry Bird was a great shooter for his time. You have some of these players in the 60s and 70s who are great shooters for their time, but they were taking maybe 3 or 4 long distance shots a game. And, you know, you have somebody like Steph Curry, if he gets hot, he could maybe take 18 by himself. So you wonder if they might extend out the 3-point line sometime in the future. I think that Steph Curry's record is one of those that will definitely never be broken, because he's going to be extending it every single game the rest of his career as well.
Dan, another big name in basketball this year is Kevin Durant. The Brooklyn Nets star helped lead Team USA to the gold medal at the Tokyo Olympics. It was Durant's third Olympic gold medal. Where do you see Durant's legacy in basketball?
Well, Sonny, the thing about Kevin Durant that I think sets him apart is the fact that he's 7 feet tall, right? So in the metric system, he's well over 2 meters tall, but he can shoot almost as well as Steph Curry. So he's got good range on the outside. When he decides to play defense, he can play well on the inside. And don't forget that he was coming back from an injury himself. I mean, he missed an entire season with the Brooklyn Nets before coming back into physical shape for the Olympics and playing well at the end of the 21 NBA season and leading the Team USA men's team in the Olympics. I mean, he doesn't have as many great years left as somebody like Steph Curry does, but I think it's fair to say that he's probably the best basketball player on the planet right now and for a couple more years.
Thanks, Dan. That's Dan Friedell. Dan, we look forward to more sporty talk in 2022, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and all of our listeners. It's great to get a chance to catch up with you, and I look forward to more in 22 as well.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. And as we prepare to ring in the new year of 2022, let's also remember this fun Voice of America programming fact. Heather Maxwell helms the longest-running English language show at the Voice of America, Music Time in Africa. Music Time in Africa was founded by my late great colleague, Leo Sarkisian, in 1965. Leo died in 2018 at the age of 97, and he's still fondly remembered by many of our Voice of America listeners. And on New Year's Eve, some of our listeners might be wondering about the history of the Sunny Side of Sports. Well, the show has its origins with the 1998 FIFA World Cup football tournament in France. And as I look back almost a quarter of a century, I have fond memories of another friend and colleague, the late, great King Richard Coty, the VOA's gallant Ghanaian. King Richard died in 2003. When I was in France in 1998, I would give World Cup updates, basically just chatting with Richard over the telephone about the latest stories at football's premier event. And for those keeping score on this New Year's Eve, host France beat Brazil 3-0 in the 1998 World Cup final. The French would win their second World Cup trophy 20 years later in Russia, where they defeated Croatia 4-2 in the final.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
My name is Chesha Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a Devil Commonwealth Games champion, a World Cross Country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K.
And let's also add Olympic champion to Joshua Cheptegei's athletic resume. Joshua won Olympic gold at 5,000 meters, as well as Olympic silver at 10,000 meters at this year's Tokyo Games. Ugandans celebrated Joshua Cheptegei's Olympic title, as we hear now from Magume Davis Rakawinj in this 2021 Sunny Side of Sports highlight.
Cheptegei leads. It's Kimeli in second for Kenya, and Paul Chelimo ready to pounce. Cheptegei has 110 meters to claim history for Uganda. The world record holder becomes the Olympic champion. Joshua Cheptegei secures the gold he has craved for years. So many runs, so many thousands of kilometers. And after the near miss in the 10,000 meters, he's done it. He's climbed the mountain. Uganda's first champion over 5,000 meters. He's done it with his compatriot. He's done it with heart. He's done it with passion. And he's proven that as a world record holder, he can come and deliver under pressure when the times are irrelevant. What a night it's going to be in Uganda. Cheptegei has taken one of the ultimate crowns.
Indeed, there were jubilations in Kampala after Uganda's long-distance runner, Joshua Cheptegei, won his first gold at the Olympics. And he was visibly emotional after clocking 12 minutes and 58.15 seconds to win the 5,000 meters race in Tokyo, Japan, ahead of Canada's Ahmed Mohamed and American Paul Chelimo. The 5,000 meters win came after settling for silver in his favorite race, the 10,000 meters category. By winning two medals at the Olympics, the 10,000 meters and 5,000 meters world champion established himself as Uganda's best athlete and said he was relieved.
I always want to become the best. And that's the right mindset that I want to tell Ugandans, always strive to become the best. And I believed in myself, I was able to fight the confidence back. And when I was leading up to the 5K, I just knew the only way was just to go out, run my race and enjoy and be at peace. So to be at peace, I needed to be aggressive and, you know, tell myself that I can do it. And of course, thanks to the Ugandans that most of the Ugandans, I received so many messages on WhatsApp, on Twitter, and I could not respond to them because all of them are positive and I was saying, you are our man, we believe in you that you can do it. So that energy was really enough for me to win the gold. And when I crossed the finish line, I felt like I had never run, to be sincere with you. I just completed the race and I was not feeling any pains anywhere. The joy just overtook all the pains and, you know, all the worries, and I was now happy, and the setback of the silver was now gone, and I was headed for something great. Greatness now was just within me.
Cheptegei blamed bad weather and jet lag for failing to win gold in his favorite 10,000 meters category. But he praised his training partners, Stephen Chisa, who ran as pacemaker, and Jacob Kiplimo, the 10,000 meters Olympic bronze medalist, describing the tough race as, in two quotes, a battle they skillfully planned for.
You know, when you are going for a battle, when you are going for war, you don't know what your opponents are going to do. So for us, we are prepared in the best means ever, and we had worked as a team, because, you know, normally for us we always do a fast race, and by the time that the race is going to complete, nobody will be able to kick. But then this one, now we ran a slow race.
Jacob Kiplimo, the youngest ever Ugandan Olympian, when he ran the 5,000 meters heats in Rio as 15-year-old, posted a time of 27 minutes and 43.88 seconds to secure bronze at the Tokyo Games. Jacob says he's becoming a greater runner from each race he participates in.
It was my second time to be there in the Olympics. It was great. I think to me, this is not the beginning. I still have like 20 years from now again. We still have more things to come.
There were other elite male runners from Uganda, such as Ronald Musagara, competing in 1500 meters, and former Olympics marathon gold medalist Stephen Kiprotich, both failing to finish their races because of injuries. Overall, a combined 4 medals haul from the Uganda Olympics team pleased Uganda's president, Yoweri Kaguta Museveni. Speaking at the occasion to welcome the Olympics team, Mr. Museveni said Uganda's unique geographical features highly contributed to Uganda's success.
In terms of the physical features of our country, Uganda has these high mountains and also the plateau, what you would call the lowlands. Now, these communities which live in the different areas have different potentials. And really, Uganda can become a very big sports country, outcompete all these other people.
The president rewarded medalists with brand new vehicles and promised to support sports. Back to Joshua Cheptegei's heroics at the Olympics. Sports analyst Leonie Senyange tells the Sunny Side of Sports that by winning two medals at the Olympics, Joshua Cheptegei cemented his position not only as Uganda's best, but arguably the best long-distance runner ever in Africa.
An Olympic medal, gold, regardless of the distance he was running, is what was missing in his resume. Now he has it. I think the biggest catch would be the 10K medal in 2024 if he actually gets there. But yes, as it is now, Joshua Cheptegei is the greatest athlete Uganda has had and potentially one of the greatest athletes, long-distance runners that the world has been able to produce.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinyi in Kampala, Uganda.
I am Mukundani Albert, an African poet. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And I'm pleased to report African poet Albert has this poem for us in honor of Ugandan Olympic champion Joshua Cheptegei.
Cheptegei, it finds the power. Suddenly, time seems to rush abnormally. I don't want to believe, yet I have to. It pinches on me to this a threat of the broader appeal. It dawns on me thinking of this speed champion, 12:58:15. Oh, the national icon of men, 5,000-meter race. The perfect inspiration for years to come. The gold medalist of 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. The brilliant mix of fantastic tempo. Who can stand by these challenges? The umbilical cord to link with other tech actors. The wake-up call for Ugandan sports development. The interpreter of the power of Africa, the skilled profession for the rhythms of sports, who can stand by this challenge.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. You can also connect with the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. That's wraps up the New Year's Eve edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in, and Happy New Year! I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.